Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. We've got the fixtures out and we're winning the league. We've also got a shock Mateus Fernandez transfer bid from Tottenham. Also, a new shock contract may be given out to a fan favourite, and that's sarcasm. Luke Shaw might be getting a new deal. And also a shock exit, a player that people like, potentially being sold. No place for him at Manchester United as well. Lots to get into this morning. Slightly early with the start to the stream. We're live a few minutes early, simply because it's meant to be a 10 a.m. release of these fixtures, but certain people online have leaked it outside of the embargo. So shout out to all those people. They know who they are. And I'm sure they'll be leaking the team news early next season as well, messing up our season. So well done to you. So look, effectively, we're winning the league if these fixtures are correct. And we're going to find out in the next 4 minutes whether they are or not. I do want to get into the Mateus Fernandez transfer bid from Spurs as well. I would say that straight away. So look, David Ornstein put it out there last night that Fernandez is subject to strong interest from Tottenham now. Tottenham want Tonali and Mateus Fernandez. When I heard this last night, I was doing the Canada watch along on That's Football, and I was basically laughing for 10 minutes. Mateus Fernandez to Tottenham and Tottenham being interested has me about as concerned as a butterfly, you know, starting a fight with a Rottweiler. It's hilarious. I am not worried about this. There is an element of it that could change the deal in relation to the price, but actually losing this deal to Tottenham, I am not. But I actually find it more funny than fearful. Tottenham trying to take Mateus Fernandez off us would be like Brad Pitt standing with a woman at the bar, chatting to her, and then Bilbo Baggins comes in and tries to push him away. What's he going to say? Oh, do you want to feel in my pocket and play with my ring? You know, Lord of the Rings, Lord of the Pratts. What? I mean, I'm just not worried. You know, if I'm Brad Pitt, I'm laughing. And if I'm Man United, I'm laughing. I'm not bothered by this at all. Even Man United will not mess this up. So Tottenham are just going to be this year's Newcastle. Oh, we want Tonali. He's gone somewhere else. Oh, we want Fernandez. He's gone somewhere else. They got no chance. They've absolutely got no chance. You know, even if we've got a Pratt at the wheel, we're still a Ferrari. Spurs are a mini Metro. You know, they ain't going to get this deal done. They've got no European football. And what's Mateus Fernandez going to do? What is he going to do? Is he going to go, I'm sorry, Michael Carrick. I know you've got Champions League football, Bruno Fernandez. You're one of the biggest clubs in the world. But I actually really have, you know, some people have a foot fetish. And some people have I've got a relegation fetish. Nothing turns me on more than getting relegated. So I'm got Southampton relegated, West Ham relegated, Spurs. It's my dream. I'm going for the treble. I want 3 relegations in a row. I want that on my CV. I want to, you know, that's my thing. You know, that's my thing. Some players want personal accolades. Some players want wages. Some players, you know, want to win titles. I just want to get relegated. And, you know, it's like this for me. The opportunity to play in the Champions League at Old Trafford or to get relegated with Spurs, it's too hard to figure it out. You know, it's too hard. So I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about it at all. Let's talk about these Premier League fixtures very, very quickly because they're officially going to drop at 10 a.m. That's why we're a little bit early, but they have actually dropped already. I'll give you a couple of minutes on this. I do like the release of the fixtures for Manchester United. I do like it, but I like it for about a minute or two, and then it's like, I know, okay. So Man United's first few fixtures are Hull City away, Ipswich Town at home. I know. Everton away, Man City at home, Fulham away, and Tottenham at home. So our first 6 games are probably the easiest I've known in years. We should be in a title race after game 6. I'm not saying we're going to win the league altogether, but... Well, I am. No, I'm not. But we should, I mean, Hull City away, 3 points. Ipswich at home, 3 points. That's a 6-point start. And don't come at me with jinx or anything like that. We're talking about two teams that are hot favourites to get relegated. against the team that came third that will have Bruno Fernandes in it. Like, that's 6 points. That is a 6-point start. And let's get real. If we haven't got 6 points after Ipswich, we've got a big problem. Then it's Everton away, who, I mean, I mean, look, it might be difficult, but I don't see it massively being difficult. So we could have 9 points from the first three. And then you're 9 points from your first three, you're buzzing your tits off, and you get Man United, you get Man City at home at Old Trafford, who have a new manager and may have dropped some points themselves. So 3-point momentum, then you play Man City. I think it's a dream start for us. I really do. Fulham away, okay, but they haven't got Marco Silva. They could be in a relegation battle by them. And then Tottenham, I mean, I could see us winning the first six. Seriously, could I know that probably won't happen, but I can definitely see us winning five out of the first six. And we could win six out of six. So obviously the Man City game, I'll give them some respect. But that is a dream start. And so Hull City away, Ipswich at home, Everton away, City at home, Fulham away, Tottenham at home. That is a dream start. An absolute dream start. And, you know, I think people will go, oh, well, you know, whatever. But I think that it does make a massive amount of difference, your start to the season. It does, because, you know, Chelsea have got Arsenal in their first three games. Chelsea are away to Fulham, home to Brighton, away to Arsenal. So that's not necessarily an easy game. Arsenal, Coventry at home, Villa away, Chelsea at home. Again, not an easier start as us. So look, we've got a very good start to the season on paper. And it's another reason to be positive. Now, bringing it back to transfers, I will tell you about other notable fixtures in a minute. Bringing it back to transfers, there's two ways of looking at it. Get your players in quickly and six-game winning start, you've got momentum. Teams that start the season well don't tend to finish it badly. So if we can get momentum, then, you know, the momentum should stay for the rest of the season. Great opportunity. One thing that did concern me a little bit is if you're Joel Glazer or Sir Jim Ratcliffe and, you know, Jason Wilcox and Omar Berada are saying it's this price to get these players, and you're going, well, let's play a little bit of hardball, and they're saying the season starts in the middle of August, so we need to move it at a certain pace. You look at that fixture list and go, come on, Jason. At the end of the day, Jason, relax. Have a pint of champers. It's Ipswich and Coventry, first two games of the season. Either you can put me up front and we still beat them. So, you know, we can take our time. You know, we can take our time in the window. We can take it to the last week because there's no rush. We don't need big players in for those games. And that might happen. I'm not, you know, that's speculative. But they might look at those fixtures and go, we're not even in a rush. We don't need to get everybody in for the start of the season because with the squad that we've got, we'll beat Ipswich and Coventry. So they might look at it and go, let's leave it. Let's not take a look at it. But look, we'll have to wait and see. But look, I'm happy with that start to the season. You know, it's very important for Michael Carrick. I mean, obviously, I didn't want Carrick to get the job, but now he's got the job. It's very important that he does well. And I think what he has done, he's been very good at getting results. And it's a good start for us. Just to add in, by the way, they'd even released the kickoff times. So the first game of the season will be Arsenal against Coventry at 8 o'clock. We will play at 12:30 on the Saturday. So we don't even have to wait long as well. I'm pretty happy with that. They've only done the opening weekend fixtures, but we play on at 12. I was a little bit worried about Hull Man United being a prime Monday night game. It's not. It's a Saturday game. It's 12:30. And what I want to say to Chelsea Football Club and Garnacho is, you are us next season, because guess what? You're not in Europe. You're going to get Mondayed a lot, and they've Mondayed you on the first game of the season. Fulham, Chelsea, Monday night football, 8 o'clock. Chelsea, get used to it. I am so glad we're back in Europe, because I thought they might give us a Monday night football game for Hull. They've not even done that. So very happy with that start as well. Very, very good. Right, let's go back. Should we go back to the transfer stuff? Oh, no, just very, very quickly. Somebody said, when are we playing? Who are we playing at Christmas? Let me tell you who we've got at Christmas. So, as I said, if you're tuning in a little bit later, Man United's first five games of the season are, as I said, we've got Hull at home, Hull away, Ipswich at home, Everton away, City at home, Fulham away, Tottenham at home. First six games, 18 points. Christmas, we are playing Boxing Day against Forest. We always seem to play Villa or Forest on Boxing Day, don't we? So we've got Forest at home, Boxing Day. We've got, over Christmas, we've got Arsenal on the 19th, Forest on the 26th, Sunderland on the 30th, and then Brighton on the 2nd. So that's a good run there. We play Liverpool in November on the 21st. Who else is big that we would play? Chelsea, we play on the 31st of October. And Arsenal. Arsenal's in December. So they're quite... Look, to be honest, those fixtures, I don't know whether they're sponsored by Amazon, but they are. It's a very good set of fixtures for us. And of course, we have got Champions League football, which you can almost poke in as well. I can't figure out when the Champions Leagues are, but you want to look at whether we're away the game after that, because that can be difficult. Jem says November fixtures are tough. Thank you very much. Okay, right. I want to go back to the transfer stuff, and maybe the fixtures, like I say, maybe they can impact on what happens in the transfer window, because, you know, we certainly have got a interesting few weeks ahead in the transfer window. Will United look at it and go, we don't need to rush, we've got two newly promoted teams in the first two games? And we are very lucky to have that, by the way. It's a bit unprecedented that our first two games of the season against the two shittest teams in the league. And they are the two shittest teams in the league, because Coventry finished top. So for United to get the first two games against the two shittest teams, it is very, very good. Very happy with that. Mark says the Spurs match will be hard, Mark. What? Because they might have Matheus Fernandes. Piss off. It ain't happening. That's just not happening. That's not happening at all. So, look, let's get into the news. That's what we're here for. So, David Ornstein that said last night that Tottenham are among the clubs keen on signing Matheus Fernandes from West Ham. This is separate to Tottenham's pursuit of Sandro Tonali. Interest driven by De Zerbi wants West Ham talent as well as Newcastle midfielder. I mean, there's a few things to unpick there. One, I'm not concerned about this at all. I'm really not. It's Tottenham. And I think some of our fans on this one are going a little bit over the top, panicking about something that really isn't that bad, right? Newcastle wanted Sesko. We got Sesko. So legitimately, David Ornstein is saying that Tottenham have joined the race to sign Matheus Fernandes, okay? But there's a couple of things I would say about this. One, Matheus Fernandes is not going to want to join Tottenham over Man United. Bruno Fernandes, status, Champions League football, you know, he's just not going to want to do it. So that's the big thing, isn't it? That we don't need to be worried about that, really. Two, if the player doesn't want to go, then West Ham can't negotiate a deal. It's very difficult to negotiate a deal. Worst case scenario, Tottenham come in and say, there's £70 million for Matheus Fernandes. So, and Joey says Spurs will just pay. And Adam says, that's your opinion. Mate, are you going to... Adam, don't deflect. I've a set of balls, Adam, right? Don't come in here saying that's your opinion, that he won't want to go to Tottenham over Man United. Have the courage of your conviction to say you think he'll go to Tottenham over Man United. Don't deflect like a coward going, that's your opinion, and then not confirm that you think he'll pick Spurs over Man United. Like, if you think he's going to choose Spurs over Man United, then put it in the chat and we'll talk, right? He ain't going to choose Spurs over Man United, mate. He ain't fucking stupid. He's not a moron, is he? He hasn't got a relegation fetish. He wants to play in Europe at one of the biggest clubs in the world. He ain't going to choose Spurs over Man United. That's not going to happen. He's not a moron, right? And I've got nothing against Spurs, but it's like choosing fucking Everton over Arsenal. There's no point. Like, we're Manchester United. We're in the Champions League. We're a bigger club. He ain't going to choose Spurs over Man United, right? But there are two things that do bother me about this. One, if Spurs slap £75 million on the table, that's above what we want to pay. And that, I would acknowledge that. What happens then? What happens if Spurs offer more than we're offering? It does muddy the waters. Secondly, and probably more important for me than it is for you, how the hell are Man United putting it out there that they won't bid big on players that we need, but Tottenham, who don't have European football, are bidding big on Tonali and Fernandes? How are Tottenham, with no Champions League football, spending money better than we are, and we won't do it? And I think that's the big takeaway I would drop into this show this morning, is we will win this race. I am sure we will. Well, we'll beat Tottenham. We might not beat Real Madrid if they come in. But how and why and what does that say about the ambition of this football club when Tottenham, with no Champions League football and 2 years in a row finishing fourth from bottom, how are they bidding big on Tonali and Matheus Fernandes? And we won't do either. We won't bid on Tonali, and we won't bid what Spurs want to pay for Matheus Fernandes. That has got nothing to do with being a bigger club, being in the Champions League, or being Man United. That's got to do with ambition. And on that one, I'll acknowledge Spurs are better than us, because Spurs want Tonali and Matheus Fernandes, and they're not in Europe. And Man United don't. And that, to me, is criminal. And that's a fact. We won't bid on Tonali because it's too expensive. We're focusing on a cheaper deal for Matheus Fernandes, but Tottenham want to bid for both. They are not in Europe. That makes us look really bad. And I think what people need to realise is, and I was thinking this last night, what people need to realise is Jason Wilcox, Omar Berada, even Sir Jim Radcliffe get a lot of blame. And this doesn't get mentioned enough. If I'm Jason Wilcox and I want to get Matheus Fernandes, and I go into the boardroom and I say, we've got to offer £75 million today or this deal is going to get very difficult, that has to go to Sir Jim Radcliffe and he has to get written sign off by Joel Glazer. And I think people have forgotten that and think it's Sir Jim Radcliffe's decision to make, or it's Jason Wilcox's decision to make, or it's Omar Berada's decision to make. People forget this club is still majority owned by the Glazers and they have final say on money. Sir Jim Radcliffe may well have control of the football side, but he doesn't have control of the bank. And that seems to have disappeared for some reason. It's one of the weirdest things in our fan base that seems to have completely and utterly disappeared. It's always Wilcox, Berada, and a little bit of Sir Jim. When it comes to transfers, the guy who writes the check is the Glazers. We cannot, you know, if Omar Berada says, Jim, Sir Jim, I've done as a deal with Newcastle, it's £80 million plus 30 in add-ons, but the add-ons don't need to be played unless we win the Champions League, but it's only active for the next hour. And Sir Jim Radcliffe says, that's great, Omar. Let's do it. And then he goes, oh, actually, I've just realised I can't sign that off. I don't have the power. I'm not the signatory. I agree with you. I need to get Joel Glazer to confirm. So Jim gets on the phone to Joel Glazer. 2 hours later, he's still not decided. That deal's gone. So, and that's how it works at Man United. And you won't get any journalists telling you that. And some of our fans don't seem to want to discuss that. But we can't, Wilcox, Berada cannot sign off deals without Joel Glazer and the Glazers saying yes. So they run the football side with Sir Jim, but they don't write the checks. And that can be a problem. So look, I applaud Tottenham for their ambition in the fact that they're going for players that we should be going for. And I acknowledge that. And it annoys me that we've got, you know, less ambition than Tottenham. And that nobody can argue with that. Tottenham have shown more ambition in this transfer window than Man United, and they're not even in Europe. They would like to sign Tonali and Matheus Fernandes. I applaud their ambition. But it's a little bit like an ugly bloke going to the bar and trying to pull a 10 out of 10. it's probably not going to happen. And when I say ugly, I don't mean looks. I mean, like, they've got an ugly personality. Their clothes are ugly. You know, they stink of piss, whatever, you know. You're not going to get me on that one. But I do applaud the ambition for trying. However, they won't get it done. Where I do agree with the chat, and let me know your thoughts, is what happened. The only thing we need to concern about ourselves about this offer from Spurs for Matheus Fernandes is if they do put an offer in, which they might not do. If the player says, I'm not interested, David Ornstein doesn't say Spurs are going to put a bid in. Spurs go to Matheus Fernandes. He says, I'm not interested. Spurs don't even put a bid in. And I think that's what will happen. Where it could become a problem is if, for whatever reason, Spurs decide they are going to put a bid in. And then West Ham are like... But remember, Spurs relegated West Ham. I can't imagine Spurs and West Ham have a great relationship. So I don't know why Spurs would put a bid in if the player prefers Man United. So I don't think this will happen. But worst case scenario, Spurs put a bid in. What does that do? So if Spurs put a bid in for, like, let's say 75 million or 70 million, then that would cause West Ham to say to Man United, you may think you've got the player, but we've got a bid of 75 and we will accept it. Man United could say, well, we know the player won't go to there. So you can have a bid of £100 million. He's not going to go there. So I don't see this causing a massive issue for Man United unless Spurs drop a bid that West Ham accept and West Ham start to try and play a little bit of hardball. I still think the Real Madrid offer, if this comes in, is Derek, you're blocked. Thank you very much. So yeah, I think it's interesting to see how it plays out, but I'm not massively concerned about it. Razzler says, too many hierarchies at United. Any normal club would have completed the deal by now. Should be one person in charge. The sooner Glinios leave, the better, says Razzler. I mean, look, I'm not here to get into the technicalities of how Man United run, but when the Glazers ran the club, there was a lot of people very frustrated at the club just because of how the Glazers would, you know, if Man United wanted to order more beef for the canteen at Carrington, the Glazers would get involved in signing it off. So, you know, they are still very involved in writing the checks. Blake, we've actually, this is hilarious. We don't need to delete it, Ladios. Let him back. Undelete him. Oh, Ladios, you've been, like, mods. I don't mind this sort of thing. We do not need to block this. We had a Spurs fan called Blake. He said, it's funny watching Mark cry and complain. I mean, mate, we've got a Pratt in the chat. Like, Mark, Blake, I couldn't be more relaxed. I've had hardly any sleep this week. I'm surviving on 5 hours sleep a night doing World Cup and United Stand. It's been a hard week. This has woke me up. Red Bull where? I don't need coffee this morning. I don't need a caffeine hit from a can of Red Bull. I've got Spurs trying to bid for Matheus Fernandes. This is just the biggest stimulant in the world. We are not worried about you, mate. You be worried about what you're going to do all week. You be worried about how many Premier League games you're going to get Mondayed on. We're in the Champions League. You're not. We're a massive club. You're not. You know, you've got your Poundland Ancelotti in charge, who's giving it the big one, trying to buy all these players. You're not going to get Matheus Fernandes. He's not going to sign for you. You're not relevant. I don't even dislike Spurs. But you know what? You should be more bothered about your North London rival being in Champions League finals and winning the league than sticking your nose in a beehive, because you're going to get stung. You're not going to get Matheus Fernandes. And I'll be absolutely stunned if you get Tonali as well. You're not going to get Adam Scott. You are going to end up with Tyler Adams. That's your level, right? You are not going to be in the top six next season. You are not going to get Matheus Fernandes. And you are not a threat. And that's straight face. The day we, as a fan base, get concerned about Tottenham, we need to really get worried. You got lucky beating us in the Europa League final, but look at where you are now, a year later. You're fighting relegation. We're third. You're not winning this race. I think it's embarrassing that you've tried to get in it, and I think it's embarrassing that you've put it out there public. But look, let's see how it plays out. Because to tell you what, Blake, I know a few Spurs fans, and they were laughing about it last night. They were saying, fair play, but we ain't got no chance. And it reminds me a lot of Newcastle. And if you want to be this summer's Newcastle, fill your boots. If you want to be the team that tries going for players that ain't going to come for you, fill your boots. But you ain't going to get Matheus Fernandes over United. It's not going to happen. And if you do, you can come back and banter us, because we'll be ripping the absolute shit out of Wilcox and co. This won't happen. All our games are at 3 p.m. Saturdays. Does that mean we can even use Sky throughout the whole season? Kenzo, I hope that's a joke. Kenzo says every game's at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Yeah, they've not done the TV fixtures yet. Brian and stuff says, easy to start the season will mean an excuse to not buy players because of the results we're getting. Xerxes, Ugarte, Rashi all staying guaranteed. I mean, I hope that doesn't happen. Patrick Lynch says, Spurs new board tried to keep the same transfer policy as Levy and almost went down twice. They've realised it's wrong. They're looking at centre midfielders even after buying Gallagher. Our board just seem happy building a squad in stages. Well, I do agree with Patrick. What I will say about Spurs is it won't work because they won't get the players, but they are showing more ambition in their spend in their midfield than us. And that is something I would take away as a Man United fan this morning, is that Tottenham's ownership is showing more ambition in its midfield rebuild than us. And their midfield's already better than ours. So what does that say about Man United? Are we going to win the Premier League, says Shay? We've got a very good start. Boxing Day football is back and United are at home to Forest, says Dino. Thank you, Dino. Mark, are Spurs morons to go in for Fernandes, knowing we're already agreed on personal terms, says Sanska. I don't get what the play is. It's a waste of time, but, you know. A good start is important, says Patrick. With Champions League football and those extra games going to put an eventual strain on the squad, having points cushion will be vital. And also, just in relation to the start of the Premier League, obviously playing the likes of Ipswich and Coventry and Everton and Fulham in the first six games gives you a massive opportunity to get maximum points. Of course it does. But also, whatever comes out of next season, absolute minimum has to be Champions League football. So if you can get a good start and put yourself comfortably in the top four after the first few games, you would expect to stay there as well. Champions League football normally starts after game week four, says Nick. Yeah, well, if you look at the fixtures, there's normally an international break after three games. There isn't this time because there's only two international breaks this season, but they're both three-week breaks instead of two. So we play 22nd of August, 29th of August, 5th of September, 12th of September, and then 19th of September. So we play five games before the first international break, and there's a Champions League game in there as well. So, we could have five from five, which would be great. Spurs in for Tonali and Fernandes, says Kieran. City in for Tonali and Anderson. Liverpool, €100 million bid for Diamande. United in for Sanderberg, Belaba and Somerville. It's pathetic. And I do actually love that super chat from Kieran, and it is actually totally spot on. I want to come back to that. It's great. Last chat I sent, Mark, I said I was so worried about us actually doing what this board say. Tottenham doesn't bother me either, but Real Madrid do, says Mikey. Mikey has been a member for 11 months. Thank you, sir. And Owen says, good morning. All the best. Hopefully the USA game will be good today. Yeah, look, some cracking World Cup games tonight. USA, Australia at 8. We'll be live at 7 on the United Stand. Morocco, Scotland at 11. And then Brazil, Haiti at 1:30 in the morning. We're doing all of those. Dan's just called me a champagne socialist. Okay. I mean, that is, I've been called an absolute knobhead and worse, but that is got to be one of the most wildest accusations I've ever heard of. I mean, I don't even like champagne, Dan, for a start. James says, do you think our reputation in the market has improved since Ineos? It must be so frustrating dealing with a club that moves so slowly. Liverpool can do deals overnight and show respect to clubs. I've not spoken to anybody probably since March in relation to United's perception in the market. But consistently over the years, we've been likened to, you know, you can hear Man United coming towards a transfer window because the big clown boots are slapping on the floor, oversized shoes, etc. We tend to piss people off in the market. We tend to walk into a deal, we're Man United, but it's all the gear and no idea. So we don't actually hold that many good relationships with clubs because we tend to piss about. And most of it comes from the Glazers. You know, you can say what you like about Berarda and Hargreaves and Wilcox, who fundamentally work on these deals. But it's the, if you imagine going into a shop today to buy a pair of trainers and you're at the checkout and they're £100 pair of trainers and you say, can you get your manager? Because I'm only going to pay 80. And the manager comes out and says, it says it's £100. And you say, yeah, but you can negotiate. Everyone can negotiate on price, but it's £100. But I want to pay 80. All right, we'll do a deal. We will do a deal. Okay, fine. You can have them for 90. Hold on a minute. And then they've got to ring up and ask the boss, do you want to pay 90? No, he still says 100. Well, we want, actually, no, he's got that wrong. He wants 80. The negotiation process for Manchester United is consistently frustrated by the fact that Wilcox and Berarda need sign off from the Glazers, and it slows it down and it irritates people. And the Glazers don't deal with West Ham. They don't deal with Brentford. They don't deal with Newcastle. They sit in America calling the shots, but not negotiating. And it makes it a very long, frustrating process. And we end up pissing a lot of clubs off. So our reputation's not great. And we end up being not that well liked either. Like you say, some clubs, Man City probably do have a good reputation. Liverpool probably do have a good reputation. We don't have a good reputation in the window. And it burns you because look at what we did to Newcastle with Dan Ashworth. Newcastle probably really don't like us. Do you think they're going to help us get Lewis Hall? So you end up burning bridges, and you also end up in a situation where every deal takes ages. So Emily Derry says, the Spurs thing annoys me because they finished 17th and are showing more ambition than a third place United. Not that they may or may not get Fernandes. I completely agree. I don't think Spurs have got a cat and hell's chance of getting Fernandes. What annoys me is that they're showing more ambition. And some people in our fan base think, you know, don't want to talk about that. Cool says, how are you not losing your mind? Overlap restraint. What am I meant? Mate, that's just such a childish comment because I was losing my mind last night. And what am I meant to be losing my mind about? So if I don't lose my shit about absolutely everything, it's because I'm being restrained. I mean, I don't know, I find that crazy, but thanks for your super chat. Spurs need a team builder as bad as us, if not more, says Damien. It's not the Spurs stand. Too many hierarchy at United, says Razzler. Any normal club would have completed the deal by now. Should be one person in charge. The sooner Glenios leave, the better. Thoughts on Guirassy. Last two seasons, very good, and was last season's Champions League top scorer. Also for sale this summer, would be perfect with Sesko. You know what, Muad? I'm not going to deviate from what I wanted to talk about, but you know what? Guirassy, I know I said no a few years ago, at 30 years of age, and he's not 31 till March. Dependent on the price, he would be a very decent secondary striker with experience to Sesko. But I've heard absolutely nothing about Man United doing it. But look, what I do want to say is, whatever happens with Matheus Fernandes, what are we doing? Because I don't actually like our policy of the player wants to join us, let's spend weeks negotiating the price down. Because as I said, you burn your bridges with Brentford. You burn your bridges with West Ham. You know, West Ham will probably be sat there saying, we've got clubs that will pay us more than you, but you've locked the player into you. That pisses us off. You know, there's three or four clubs that are going to pay more than you, but the player won't go to them because you've locked him down and made him want to go to you. You've cost us £5-10 million by doing that. So yeah, we've got to do a deal with you, but you know what? We don't like you. And that's business. That's the way it works. But I think that My issue is, and I've said this a few times about Anderson, Diamande, Tonali, Lewis Hall. In football and in life, you sometimes have to pay a little bit extra to get the thing you really, really want. You know, if you're getting married and there's one wedding ring in the shop that you really like, and you go in and say, that's the ring I want, Bilbo Baggins again, that's the ring I really, really want. And then the owner of the shop says, I'm sorry, I've made a mistake. That's actually been sold. I shouldn't have had it there. And you go, what did it sell for? And they say the retail price. I really want it. I'll give you that price. And they'll go, no, because I've sold it to the person there. I would go, can you ring them up and say, I'm adding another 100 quid on top and, you know, see if they want to match the offer. Like, I really want that. I will pay a little bit extra to get that because I really, really want that. United don't have that mentality. But other clubs do. You know, look at Liverpool going for Diamande. The bid's gone in for 100 million euros. We won't even put that bid in. It's been rejected, but Liverpool will go back. Man City have had two bids rejected for Anderson at over 100 million pounds. They will get that deal done because they want that player. We've got an owner and some fans that are going, well, we shouldn't pay that. We shouldn't pay that for Diamande. We shouldn't pay that for Anderson. We shouldn't pay that. We've literally got fans knocking one out to us walking away from multiple targets. I'm like, I pay the money. If we're convinced that player is the player that's going to be a game changer for us for the next 5 years, what's an extra 20 million? What's an extra 5 million? What's an extra 10 million? So when you look at Matheus Fernandes, and let's say Man United are happy to pay 65, it's already a little bit overpriced anyway. If West Ham are going to take 70 or 75, are we really going to sit there going, let's negotiate this out? But the reason Wilcox and Berarda will be negotiating it out is because they've got the Glazers going, we're not paying over 65. So they have to negotiate every pound because their boss is telling them to do it. When actually, I'm sure there's a part of Wilcox going, I wish he'd just pay the extra five so we could get the deal done and move on to somebody else, because it's my reputation on the line at the end of the day. So this is the problem that we have. We have an ownership that doesn't understand football and doesn't care enough. And that's the big thing. If I'm the owner of the club, or you're the owner of the club, and we want Matheus Fernandes, and Wilcox says, we've offered 65, they're not going to take it, we can keep negotiating for weeks and weeks and weeks, or we can offer 70 and I think they'll take it, I'd say, let's do it. Because I understand football, and I understand we've got other things to do. I understand that this is the target we need. And that £5 million is a drop in the ocean. I'd say, Jason, offer him 70, get it wrapped up, move on to the next deal. We really want this player. But the Glazers don't understand football. They don't care about football. They just see an extra £5 million being spent, which is why we walked away from Peretic all those years ago when we wouldn't go above 40 to 45. It's frustrating. Thoughts on Grassi? I think that was a good one, Moad. Have a feeling the third midfielder will be Camavinga. Razzler says the club spend more time speaking internally than negotiating with clubs. Haven't won the league in 13 years and the board seems to live in the past. Razzler, as I said, I don't know. We've got so many journalists around Man United that are client journalists. They're just pushing Man United PR for access. That's what they do. You know, when was the last interesting piece in The Athletic or The Mail or The Telegraph or anywhere else that actually criticised and scrutinised the way Man United work? Well, here's one for them, because it's true. Man United struggle because of the many layers of bureaucracy at that football club. There are too many cooks around the pot, and it slows us down and it messes us up. And it's hard to work in that environment when every deal you work on, there's multiple layers of people you've got to go through. Berarda, you know, if you're Matt Hargreaves and Jason Wilcox at the Rock Face working on this deal, even when you get close to a deal, you've still got to go through Berarda, who's got to go through Sir Jim, who's got to go through the Glazers, and then it's got to come back down again, and then you've got to negotiate again, and then it's got to go back up again. And this is why it takes so long. Rajaf says, damn, can't believe Madrid completed the Cucurella deal in 48 hours. I don't understand why our owners won't look at the end and get a sense of urgency. But Rajaf, the reason Real Madrid will get a deal done in 48 hours is because Florentino Perez is the president of Real Madrid. He has the final say. He loves football. He loves Real Madrid. And he gets involved. The layers of bureaucracy at Real Madrid are probably one. Florentino Perez running the show because he cares about the show and he wants to be the best. We want Cucurella. Florentino Perez probably spoke to Cucurella. He probably spoke to Chelsea and he went, we want Cucurella. I'm writing the check. Let's get it done. At Man United, how many layers of bureaucracy have you got to go up to get a decision to come back down again? Thank you. Have a feeling the third midfielder will be Camavinga, says Maliki. Thank you very much. Emily Derry says, we've walked away from Diamande, Tonali, Anderson so far, and it's not even July, and we walked away from Semenyo in January. Are we backing ourselves into a corner too early? I mean, look, this is a complete and utter opinion statement from Emily, and it's one I share. I don't understand, but it's not for me to... It's not, you know, everybody is entitled to their opinion. That's the beauty of this community. I have no concern about Matias Fernandez going to Spurs. And if he did go to Spurs, I would laugh my head off. I'd be like, the guy's got a relegation fetish. What is he doing? He's clearly... In fact, if Matias Fernandez went to Spurs, I would say we've dodged a bullet. Because if he's got a Spurs mentality, we've dodged a bullet. But it won't happen. That doesn't worry me. What worries me is, yeah, we weren't willing to pay for Semenyo. We weren't willing to pay for Anderson. We're not willing to pay for Tonali. We're not willing to pay for Diamande. We're not willing to pay for Lewis Hall. That's five players, of which two or three of them are absolutely players we should be signing, but none of them are coming to Man United. Diamande is going to Liverpool. Lewis Hall, we don't know where he's heading yet. Tonali's going to a Premier League rival. Anderson's going to a Premier League rival. Semenyo's already at a Premier League rival. It's very frustrating because how do we get better when our rivals are getting better with players that we need? And I'm sorry, there aren't... The reason Diamande and Anderson and Tonali and Lewis Hall and Semenyo are expensive is because they are good. You know, Fitinha comes on the market, he's not going to come on the market for under £80 million, is he? So we can't get him. If João Neves comes on the market, we're not going to get him because he's going to be over £80 million. They're good players and we price ourselves out of it. And it's so frustrating. And you know what? I was live last night when it came out from, was it Ben Jacobs or Ornstein or Romano that Liverpool have bid for Diamande. And it's so bloody frustrating. Because Spurs have more ambition than Man United. And I agree with Emily. And look, you don't have to agree, but you can't call it moaning. You can't call it negativity because it is a fact. We won't bid for players our rivals are bidding for, and yet we want to win the league. That Yan Diamande is going to tear it up in the Premier League. I knew Semenyo would tear it up at Man City, and he did. I know Diamande is going to tear it up at Liverpool if they get him. There's no point going, I hope he flops. He won't fucking flop. He will absolutely... It's a dead cert. Unless he gets injured, he is a dead cert. Anderson at Man City is a dead cert. Tonali, wherever he goes, is a dead cert. And also, gone are the days where you hope that your rival sign a player that's a flop. They're players we should be signing. So you're telling me I'm meant to go, I think Tonali could be brilliant for Man United. I think Diamande would be brilliant for Man United. I think Elliot Anderson would be brilliant for Man United. Oh, they've signed for a rival. Oh, I reckon they might flop. I mean, you're asking fans to be hypocrites. I genuinely think Elliot Anderson would be an amazing Man United player. I genuinely think Yan Diamande would be an amazing Man United player. I genuinely think Tonali would be an amazing Man United player. And what you're asking your fans to do is go, even though I think they're brilliant, I've now got to change my mind and think they're going to flop. But I don't think they're going to flop because I think they should be signing for Man United and I think we should be paying the price to get them because we're not a fucking bank. We're a football club. And I don't know what's gone wrong. I don't know why we're being treated like bloody accountants. This never used to happen. Being a Man United fan was very simple. We're going to go and get the best players available. And that's all we had to worry about. Now, we're being told we're going to go and get the best players that we can for a price that's under a limit that we've set. Oh, talk about taking the joy out of football. We're not buying the best players anymore. We're buying the players that we can afford under a certain price. It's soul-destroying that United has become that. Won't be surprised if the sale news starts, if this window fails. I think it's the only way the club have figured out how to shut the fans up, says Razzler. And Midri says, morning, Mark. Wilcox has already made it hard for himself. So sorry, it was getting really hot. I was just looking outside. It is hot. Morning, Mark. Wilcox has already made it hard for Carrick by not getting the players he needs. We will struggle next season. Well, you know what? Austin says this is the main reason Amrin fell out with him. With them, but yeah. I mean, Amrin got sacked for falling out with the board. He didn't get sacked for results. You're absolutely true. But the worrying thing is, it looks from the fixture release with the likes of Ipswich and Hull in our first two games, it looks like Carrick will get a very good start to the season. But it's a marathon, not a sprint. So what could happen is we could end up in a situation where we don't have a very good transfer window, but we do have a good start to the season. And then later in the season, it could become problematic in the sense that we might struggle later in the season. I mean, look at Chelsea. Chelsea up until Christmas were very good. Then they didn't end up in Europe. So, you know, it is a marathon, not a sprint. Can't believe Madrid completed... I've done that one from Rajaf. Thank you very much. So basically, our last big signing will be Bruno Fernandes, says Panos. Look, I can't categorically say this, but what it looks like to me is that we have a parameter in place around wages and a parameter in place around transfers. And what I mean by that is it looks like we won't pay over £80 million for a player and we won't pay over £200,000 a week on wages. That's what it looks like at the moment. But look, you know, and it's hard not to think that when you've got someone like Ben Jacobs saying there's next to no chance that we're going to bid for Diamande, Anderson or Tonali. And the news this morning is, of course, that Man City are very close to getting the Anderson deal done. And Liverpool are very close to getting the Diamande deal done. But don't worry, we're looking at Sander Berg. Is it Diamande? Is it Anderson? Is it Tonali? No, it's Sander Berg. It's Sander Berg. I would not be able to keep us... If I was on the board at Man United talking about transfers... And I'm listening to that. It's not Diamande. It's too expensive. It's not Tonali. It's too expensive. It's not Anderson. It's too expensive. It's Sander Berg. You know what? I'd throw my glass up against the wall. I wouldn't hit anybody with it. And I'd storm out. And Wilcox would be going, what's his problem? What's his problem? I'd be like, I tell you what my problem is. I thought I'd walked into a Man United boardroom. Wait, at what point does it say Everton on the door? You fucking idiot. I don't want to go back to yesterday. Last night's show was hard. I tell you what, do not watch last night's show. It was depressing. I don't want to go back there. I don't even want to take my head back there. I don't want to go back. Yesterday's updates basically were just very, very depressing. And I almost wanted to wake up this morning and it'd be a dream. We're not in for Diamande. We're not in for Tonali. We're not in for Anderson. But we are looking at Sander Berg and maybe Belabor again. And I'm like, oh, God. The club are happy for that to be out there in the middle of June. The middle of June is where you lie. You know, the middle of June is where you go, even though it's not going to happen, tell them Anderson's a priority because we've got shirts to sell. even though it's not going to happen, say we're still in the Tenali race because we've got shirts to sell. It's the middle of June and they're actually putting it out there. Yeah, we're happy that you've Sanderberg. Tell them Sanderberg's on the list and we're still looking at Belaba and Jimmy at Somerville. 2 weeks ago, we got linked to Romero. Within 9 hours, the club had briefed multiple journalists that we weren't in for Romero. 24 hours ago, it was put out there that we're in for Sanderberg, Somerville and Belaba, and the club have said nothing. They're happy for us to be linked to this type of player. And they're happy for us to be told we're not bidding for Diamande, Anderson and Tenali. The message coming out of the club at the moment is very worrying. There's plenty of time left. We can still get Fernandez. We can still get Tchouaméni. And if we get that, we've achieved a reasonably good midfield, in my opinion. And we have held talks with Tchouaméni. We have. Not recently necessarily, but talks have been held about the viability of moving to Man United and he would like to do it. But look, there's a long way to go to getting that deal done, certainly. Who's getting the new contract? I mean, I don't even want to talk about this, but I think it was Lookhurst in The Sun was talking about Luke Shaw, saying that if he wants a new contract at Man United, he'd have to take a pay cut because he's on nearly 200 grand a week. I mean, if Man United are considering giving Luke Shaw a new contract, and they probably will, what's going on? I think Luke Shaw's got 1 year left on his deal. And there's obviously thoughts about what's going to happen next. You can't give him a new contract. You can't. I don't care whether he takes a pay cut or not. You don't give him a new contract. Simple as that. Also, the player that United might be selling, I think it's Laurie Whitwell in The Athletic talking about Vitek. I actually said this at the start of the week. He won't be coming back as the backup goalkeeper at Man United. United will look to loan or sell him this summer. So Vitek looks like, I would say, could be a bit of money coming in for United. I know that might upset a few of you, but I don't think Vitek is going to be having a future at United. Lemons is the number one, and he's not going to want to be sat there as a number two. We may be loaning for another year, but ultimately, are you not just kicking the ball down the road anyway? He's not going to dislodge Lemons, and he's not going to want to be a number two. So I think he will end up moving on. Carrick should remember David Moyes' poor transfers ended his United career early. He should demand better, says Tailsy. Yeah, but we don't know. I mean, Michael Carrick is an inexperienced coach. He's had some very good results. He's an inexperienced coach who got sacked by Middlesbrough. He might be sat there saying, I quite like Sanderberg. I quite like some of it. We don't know what Michael Carrick's doing. Michael Carrick might be sat there saying, I don't mind. Do what you want. I'm just happy to have the job. We don't know. We can't be in Michael Carrick's shoes because we've not seen what Michael Carrick's like yet in relation to all this stuff. Why do you act like Somerville is a hot, is horrific, says Five Star. Mate, if you don't want to listen to the shows, then it's not my problem to keep repeating it because some people watch the shows and you're basically just taking time and wasting time. I have never said I think Somerville is horrific. I have said he is a plan D at best winger. That's not good enough. We are going for him because he is cheap. People like Yann Diamande and Nusa and Morgan Rogers are on the market. And we're going for Somerville because he's cheap. We're literally in talks with two relegated players. One relegated player might be okay, but why are we talking to West Ham about multiple players like West Ham were decent? It's not good enough for me, mate. It's not good enough to keep signing Plan D, E and F players. You'd get sacked, Mark, for that, like Amorim. This is why Michael Carrick's the manager, Razzler. They can't put somebody in there that's going to ask questions. Title challengers need 6 signings, 3 centre midfielders, 1 left back, 1 striker, 1 goalkeeper. The pace is alarming. Why are you so calm? Says Kulan. Kulan, I'm going to get rid of you in a minute because you're boring the shit out of me, so you're probably boring the chat. Oh, is it because of the overlap? Mate, I've just spent a whole show talking about I'm not happy with it. You're a rage baiter. I'm not reading your next chat. We can't use the World Cup as an excuse to sign players or get targets because our rivals are sealing deals for players that are currently there. Great comment, Jid. I mean, look, I always said that the World Cup will not be a barrier to doing deals, and it's not. Man City are literally about to close a deal for a player that's playing in the World Cup. Liverpool are about to close a deal for a player that's playing in the World Cup. This World Cup is fantastic, but it is not stopping people from doing transfer business. Anyway, great stuff. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. I've saved the best till last. I can't get the thought of Brad Pitt chatting up a 10 out of 10 at the bar and Bilbo Baggins coming in and saying, do you fancy playing with my ring? I was angry. I was flushed. I don't know. But a nice surprise, my precious. We've got a journalist on at 2 o'clock with Beth, a very good journalist. Obviously, we had Ben Jacobs yesterday, who's a very good journalist. We've got another one on for you 2 o'clock today. So more insight coming on the channel at 2 o'clock. So make sure you subscribe and tune in for that. I'll be in the live chat for that. Looking forward to it. Massive amount of games coming up over on That's Football for the World Cup over the weekend as well. So you can always check us out there. 7 o'clock tonight, definitely, because USA Australia is at 8 o'clock. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in this morning. Great show as always, and I will speak to you on the next one. Take care.